Thank you for downloading episode 3 of Gemma Arrowsmith's Divine Comedy. All other episodes can be found on iTunes and Audioboo. For more information, visit gemmaarrowsmith.com. Previously on Gemma Arrowsmith's Divine Comedy, Madeleine Delaney, MP for Hardwick, a small constituency on the South Coast, still refuses to resign despite growing pressure from the opposition. I'm driving back now, just going through Neffas Wood. Can't see a bloody thing. You crashed into the pensioner's minibus. Who are you? Your guide to the afterlife. Fine, so off to heaven then, let's do it. I'm afraid it's not as easy as that. In the seventh circle are the fame hungry. We've had to expand this circle to meet demand. Their punishment is to look for a parking space for eternity. You were on the front page of the newspapers kicking a homeless person. Yes, I'm not going to touch him with my hands. I can see we need to carry on down. Maybe what lies ahead will scare you enough to change your ways. Here we are in the eighth circle of hell, Madeleine. Look, is this going to go on for much longer? I have to... What? Be somewhere. Well, I was going to say I have my weekly surgery tomorrow. But between you and I could do with a week off from all those bloody constituents moaning about the library closing or whatever. I mean, be honest, does anyone actually use libraries anymore? Get a Kindle, for goodness sake. You're dead, Madeleine. You're not going to weekly surgery tomorrow or any other day. You're in hell.
Well, you say that, but I have very good insurance. I don't think you understand.
No, I don't think you understand. We're trying to find the right circle of hell for you to spend eternity. In the eighth circle, amongst others, is anyone who ever said they avoided something because it's not natural. Ugh, this is getting ridiculous. Is it? Take a look.
Here at the Natural Health Clinic, we believe that natural is best. Like all these chemicals they pump into children saying they're vaccines or whatever, it's not natural giving babies injections so that they don't die. The infant mortality rate should be high, just as nature intended. It was so much more natural when couples had to have 15 children in the hope that one or two would survive to adulthood. And wasn't it just more natural when women routinely died during childbirth? I hate all this medical intervention making sure women don't die. At the Natural Health Clinic, we keep up to date on all the advances being made in science, technology, and medicine, and then make sure we never use them. What has science done for health anyway? Yes, you might say cancer screening, AIDS drugs that allow sufferers to live a full natural lifetime. I'll tell you what else science has made: atomic bombs. You know, if that isn't a reason to stay well clear, I don't know what is. Just listen to some of our happy customers. The Natural Health Clinic took away my inhaler. They said it wasn't natural.
I was paralysed from the waist down in a car accident, and I came to the Natural Health Clinic hoping for some physiotherapy. As it was, I was just thrown on the floor and told to crawl. Apparently, that's more natural.
Well, I don't see any wheelchairs growing in nature, do you? Wake up, people! I always try to live naturally. When my mother had a heart attack last year, I just let nature take its course. And at the inquest, you should have heard the ludicrous questions they asked me. Why didn't you call an ambulance? Well, I don't see any phones growing in bushes. They're not natural. Why didn't you drive her to the hospital? Well, I don't really believe in the wheel. I don't think humans were ever meant to travel faster than walking speed. Did you do anything to help her at all? Yes. I gave her some ginseng smelling salts and a lavender poultice. Natural remedies always work. On this occasion, they didn't, but it was her time and she was like 50.
The Natural Health Clinic. Initial consultation for just £150. Payable by credit card, debit card, PayPal or Bitcoin.
Privacy is a hot potato topic. So many companies buying and selling your details. That's why we've decided to slowly phase out privacy over the next few years, like an old £10 note. It will start with the removal of all bathroom doors. What are you doing in there anyway that's so secret? Remember, if you've got nothing to hide, you should have no objection. We found that most people reveal the most intimate details of their private lives on social media anyway, so we've just decided to make it compulsory. That's why we're introducing the quarterly update. Every 15 minutes, you'll be prompted to update your status, including a tag of your location. If you're late by more than 5 minutes, an alarm will be triggered on your phone. 10 minutes late, and security will monitor CCTV cameras at the nearest location to your phone's GPS signal. 15 minutes late, and a friendly team of officers will turn up and gently remind you. Look, we're not monsters. We do allow sleep time. There will be 2 4-hour blocks every night in which you will not be interrupted. In the middle of those, we do wake you for an update on your dreams, but that will only take you a couple of minutes, and then you can get straight off to sleep again. This is for your safety. If you don't miss a single mid-sleep update for 6 months, you will be allowed uninterrupted 8-hour sleeps for a whole week, minus the weekend. All you have to do is provide a passport and recent utility bill so we can verify your identity, and make sure you provide us with an extra dream update in the morning. Use of Chrome's incognito feature or Firefox's private window mode is fine. We definitely don't monitor what you look at with those. But be aware, privacy is suspicious. What do you want to do with all that privacy anyway? Probably terrorist things. Remember, the government takes a hard line with anyone found viewing esoteric material. Now, we've had a lot of calls to define exactly what we mean by esoteric material. It's well known that a police presence reduces crime. That's why we plan to have a police officer in every home in Britain by the end of the decade. Until then, we'll be doing the next best thing, installing CCTV in every room of your house. Remember, this is for your safety. You wouldn't complain about a fire alarm, would you? No, you'd have to be an idiot to do that. If you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear. It's not like we're putting a chip in your head and monitoring your brainwaves. That's years away from completion. Your government. We care.
Have you searched for the one, but just found people who were reasonably okay? Time and Date is a dating site with a difference. We don't just search the planet for your perfect match, we search time as well. What if your ideal partner was a 14th century peasant, and the only reason you're not in a relationship is because you were born in different centuries? Time and Date will bring you together, overcoming these accidents of birth. Just listen to some of these happy customers.
Flint is a caveman, although he prefers the term Cro-Magnon man. I love how manly he is, you know. He's not one of these metrosexual types with all the product in their hair and perfect nails and teeth. He doesn't have any teeth. He pulled them all out himself because he was in agony and there were no dentists. That's how manly he is. He does have a little problem with a wandering eye, but as he said himself, seed must travel, plant many women. He's a bit unreconstructed like that. But he did say he wanted to spend the rest of his life with me, which, as he's only 21, could be 4 or 5 years.
David is from 2133. He's a lovely guy. He's come to live with me. He seemed quite keen on that idea. I asked if maybe I could visit his time, but he just started crying and shouting,
"No! I'm never going back there! Don't make me go back! It's all fucked! We fucked it!"
He's a real dish. Apart from the night terrors and the screaming, he's the perfect man.
We've had lots of successes. Could you be the next?
One thing I've learnt from films is that I shouldn't have to compromise at all when it comes to my perfect partner. It's better to die alone than have years of companionship with someone slightly less than perfect.
I found that my relationships went from tearing each other's clothes off on a beach at sunset to just sort of making each other cups of tea and saying, "Oh look, there's a sparrow on the bird feeder." All I want is that really exciting first bit forever. People said that was unrealistic, but with Time and Date, I can have my dream.
Time and Date, because you deserve your knight in shining armour. Remember, love is an illusion created by brain chemistry to compel us to procreate, thereby replicating our DNA and continuing the species. Some people like to wrap that grim reality in romance to stave off depression. The one is a myth invented by books and films. There are scores of people with whom we could be equally happy, but you will have to compromise like a grown-up.
Their punishment is to have their ears popping like they're on a plane for eternity. Surely that's cruel and unusual punishment. I like it.
This is hell, Madeline. It doesn't come more cruel and unusual than this. Let's continue down to the next circle.
Ninth circle of hell. Is this where I get to meet Judas? Oh my God, how do I look? It's not meant to be exciting. Not exciting. He's the most duplicitous shit in the history of humanity. He's virtually a god at Westminster. Taught us everything we know.
Just listen. Judas shares this circle with many souls now. Amongst others, people who write fan fiction. Take a look.
I used to really love Twilight, like it were my life. I read the books, which were hard because I don't really enjoy reading. Last book I read willingly had, like, lift-up flaps and different textures, which keeps you interested because, like, a whole load of words is dead boring. After the last Twilight film came out, it were like a bereavement. I imagine, I actually haven't lost anyone, but I imagine it feels exactly like I felt when I came out of the Odeon after watching Breaking Dawn Part 2. So I tried to find a replacement. I tried reading Hunger Games, but it were all about, like, politics and ideas. And anyway, I prefer the female characters to be quite weak. So I found this. It's called The Bible, and it's just like Twilight, right? Because it's got fantastical creatures that can talk and a battle between good and evil, and it tells you how you should behave sexually. One of the main characters dies, but he comes back to life. It's the lifestyle that goes with it that I really love. Like, they have these conventions. Twilight conventions were only once a year, but these are like every week on a Sunday. You have to know the etiquette, though, because I went dressed as my favourite character and they do not like cosplay in the church. Took me ages to do the nails in my hands as well. I have to say, one of the areas the Bible really falls down is fan fiction. There's just not any of it. There's the Apocrypha, which didn't take off, and the Book of Mormon, which is like this mini sequel, only it's got different characters and it's set somewhere else. But generally, it's just not out there. So I decided to make my own. Okay. This one is a Harry Potter Bible crossover, like who can do the best magic, but like you have to be careful because the followers can be really sensitive, so you have to make sure you don't offend anyone. Harry Potter fans are scary when they're angry. I love Sherlock, not like the books because I tried reading them and they were like set in olden times, but like the series on the telly. So I've got this story where Benedict Cumberbatch goes back in time and teams up with Jesus to solve the mystery of who would betray him. And then at the end, Sherlock gets paid in silver. You can't go wrong because if you've got two brilliant things and you put them together, that's only going to make them even better. This one's a great story. This is like a love triangle between Mary Magdalene and Jesus and Judas. And I'm hoping there'll be like Team Jesus and Team Judas and there'll be like all this merchandise. I feel really creative. I don't know where I get my ideas from. This is a Jesus Judas slash fiction, which I won't read out because it's not for everyone. Anyway, I've put all my best Bible fan fiction together into a short story collection, and I'm hoping that I get a multi-million dollar contract for it. I'm going to self-publish it as an ebook because all the publishers have turned it down, but that's okay because that's what happens to all the best writers. So yeah, download it today. It's not out yet.
It's Tuesday the 7th of May 2025, and you're listening to the news on BBC Radio 4. The government continues damage control following the revelation that they have been monitoring UK citizens' dreams. I'm afraid we have to interrupt that story as I've just been handed a special report. Today, Justin Bieber revealed that his entire career has been a psychological experiment. Justin Bieber is the assumed name of David Unwin, a performance artist who created Bieber in a bid to see how far our moral compass can drift when influenced by a charismatic leader. The BBC obtained this interview earlier today.
I wanted to see how low I could descend morally before these vulnerable people stopped supporting and even excusing my behavior. I started out small, urinating in a bucket at a restaurant, spitting on fans, physically assaulting colleagues and strangers, drink driving, resisting arrest, but the support remained. There was even copycat behavior. The fans trended a hashtag, drink and drive for Bieber. I realized that what I'd created was essentially an army or a congregation, a large group of people who would follow me unquestioningly and would forgive any behavior, no matter how reprehensible. That was when I decided to take the whole experiment up a notch. Yeah, there was a hashtag stab a stranger for Bieber. That was the next one. I went out and I stabbed a bunch of people for no reason, no provocation. And I thought, this is where they'll draw the line, surely. But no, next day, hashtag stab a stranger for Bieber was trending. And a number of the fans were Instagramming photos of themselves next to the bodies of the people they'd stabbed, you know, like giving the thumbs up.
This was how the BBC reported the craze at the time.
He just stabbed 2 or 3 people unprovoked. Everyone makes mistakes. He's a human being.
We love you, Justin. Believers will always be here for you, no matter what. I stabbed someone on the way here just to be like you.
I stabbed my mom. Hopefully Justin will retweet me now. Fans might stab strangers, but true believers stab their moms.
There followed a series of atrocities of escalating violence.
Yeah, let's see, there was a hashtag kill grandma for Bieber, hashtag involuntary euthanasia for Bieber, hashtag locked in for Bieber. That's where fans severed their spinal cord and paralyzed themselves. They were annoyed when they couldn't take part in the next one, which was hashtag school shooting for Bieber. That was popular. Hashtag female genital mutilation for Bieber, hashtag ethnic cleansing for Bieber, hashtag waterboarding for Bieber, hashtag chemical warfare for Bieber, hashtag genocide for Bieber, and hashtag nuclear war for Bieber. I couldn't throw them off.
With most of the world's population wiped out and only a handful of non-believers alive, we asked why he finally decided to reveal his true identity.
I think it was when I saw hashtag suicide for Bieber trending worldwide. That was something I hadn't even initiated. The fans had started that on their own. You know, I don't mind atrocities, I just want to be in control of them. Plus, if all the believers commit suicide, there'll be no one left to buy my new album, which is out next year, so... yeah, that bummed me out. And, you know, it might mean the end of humanity. There'd be no one left, which I guess could be a problem. Anyway, the single is out next week. It's called Final Solution Girl, so check it out on iTunes.
And I'm afraid we're out of time, so we're unable to bring you that story on the government monitoring our dreams. Up next on BBC Radio 4, it's The Archers. Yes, it's still on.
When I was a child, I always wished I'd been around to witness the significant moments in science. Newton developing his theories of gravitation in the 17th century, Faraday discovering electromagnetic induction in the 19th, the moments that proved to be a sea change in the way we do science. But now I am around for one of the most cataclysmic discoveries to happen to physics and cosmology, one that will shake the foundations of how we see ourselves in the universe. The Roman mathematician and astronomer Ptolemy believed that the Sun went round the Earth. Aristarchus was the first to propose a heliocentric model, and more recently Big Bang theory and the research into cosmic background microwave radiation led us to believe that there was no centre point to the universe. Rather, the Big Bang happened everywhere. It happened here, because at the time, the universe was only a singularity. But all of that might have to be rewritten, because recent research at CERN has led us to believe that the centre of the universe might actually be Ellie Parsons, an A-level student from Bath. Ellie uses her phone to play music out loud on the bus every day. Her music is terrible and it sounds tinny and no one else wants to hear it, leading cosmologists to believe that the universe literally revolves around her. There are now over 7 billion people on planet Earth, and the majority of those are able to find a litter bin. But to Ellie, the ground is her litter bin, and cigarette butts don't count as litter. While at primary school, she was quoted as saying, "If I don't leave litter on the floor, the cleaners will have nothing to do to earn their money." Scientists are calling this the Ellie-centric model of the universe. At the moment, it's still a mystery how an object of so little mass can create such an extreme effect on its surroundings. But we're hoping, upon further investigation, this will become clearer. My team at CERN have invited Ellie to visit the Large Hadron Collider so we can perform tests. And at first she seemed keen, but halfway through our correspondence, Ellie stopped responding. And then a few days later, we got this message: "Sorry, phone died, lol," and then some emojis.
There has been some opposition, but the evidence is compelling. On a recent holiday to Spain, she didn't attempt any Spanish, just spoke louder and asked why everyone doesn't just learn English. She uses speakerphone for private conversations and talks into the phone like someone on The Apprentice. But whether or not this discovery ushers in a new era of scientific understanding, one thing is indisputable. Ellie is a complete dick. Don't be like Ellie.
You join us for the medal ceremony of this, the 80th Mental Gymnastics Olympiad.
That's right, Suzanne. It's been a fiercely fought battle, but three very deserving mental gymnasts now take to the podium.
Yes, receiving the bronze, we see Dr. Barbara Michaels, a biologist who believes in the literal truth of the Bible. She wowed audiences with her ability to ignore the evidence and jump through several mental hoops, culminating in the standout routine that the eye must have been designed. This woman could argue black was white, and with her signature doublethink manoeuvre, she'd probably believe it as well.
Yes, that's true. And a surprise silver medalist in Professor McLeonard this year, a meteorologist who was competing in the relatively new division of climate change denial. You can see his sponsors on his leotard there, Shell and BP, although he insists that their funding doesn't influence his research in any way. Professor McLeonard pointed out that it's been quite cold recently, a crowd-pleasing misinterpretation of the data, which fails to take into consideration the difference between weather and climate. He lost marks for attempting to answer a direct question later on, rather than dancing around it, a staple of any mental gymnastics routine. A silly mistake, that. But he vaulted over the science and into second place. But there could only really be one winner. It's little Adrian Hawkes, who, at just 8 years old, is the youngest person to ever win gold at the Mental Gymnastics Olympiad.
Incredible little chap, this. Adrian hopes to be an astrophysicist when he grows up, but he's also a young Earth creationist. An unusual combination. How could he possibly square that circle, Elaine?
Oh, well, Suzanne, it's probably with the help of his pastor, who has been his coach since he was three. Indeed, one of the reasons he's able to ignore the evidence for evolution so well is that he's never been taught of its existence.
He had so many great routines this year, culminating in a spectacular piece about how the light from distant galaxies was created already on its way here, allowing the Earth to only be 6,000 years old.
Yeah, this guy is a real professional. Just when we think he's in a corner and can't possibly offer a rebuttal, he pulls out a move that blows everyone away.
Yes, his corner work is certainly fantastic. And he finished with a beautiful dismount that fossils were placed on Earth by God to test our faith. No wobble, despite the ludicrous nature of the argument. A sure winner from the start, we look forward to many more years of clinging to an argument long after most of us would have let it go.
Yes, if you wish to enter the next Mental Gymnastics Olympiad, well, you'd better get training now.
Yes, we don't recommend you try any of these maneuvers without training. You could really damage something, your leg or your respect within a community.
Their punishment is to have an itch they can't quite reach for the rest of time.
Oh, that's horrible. No wonder they're all insane. Get me out of here.
Good. You're finally seeing just how horrible hell can be. Let's travel down to the next circle.
Circle of Hell.
Wait a minute. 10th circle. I thought there were only supposed to be 9 circles of hell.
We had to build a few extensions since the 14th century, Madeline. You guys up on Earth do a lot of sinning.
It might be hell, but we still have to meet safety regulations for overcrowding.
Of course you do. Bloody EU.
In this circle, amongst many, many others, is anyone who likes to show off about how charitable they are.
Do-gooders. Excellent.
Welcome back to the Pride of Britain Awards. The next award goes to someone who has campaigned tirelessly for charity. This film looks back at her extraordinary career.
Emma Barnes is not like other people.
When she sees someone in need, she doesn't just walk on by. She acts. Whether it's clicking like on a Facebook post about Africa, or her most recent work taking selfies without any makeup on for cancer, Emma thinks about other people for a few seconds every few days.
The no makeup selfie thing was amazing. I took about 50 different photos without any makeup on at all, except for foundation and a bit of mascara. It took me nearly an hour to get one I was happy with. It got a huge response, mostly about how great I look without makeup, but some people did give money to charity, I think. I haven't checked.
Emma feels really bad whenever she passes a homeless person and used to buy the big issue until it went over a pound.
I don't do it for the glory or to be told I look great with no makeup on, although that is good. I do it so I don't feel bad. Like on Facebook the other day, there was this dog with his head in a cone because he just had an operation. And it said, one like equals one prayer, one comment equals 10 prayers. Most people just scroll past or click like. I knew that wasn't enough, so I took the time to write a comment. I wrote hugs and a smiley face. So that dog now has 10 prayers. It was the least I could do.
It sure was, Emma. It sure was.
A worthy recipient, I think you'll agree. Up next in the Pride of Britain Awards, a woman who once put her change in a charity tin at the tills in Sainsbury's.
It wasn't just one pay. There was definitely some silver in there.
And welcome to the new rebranded Sky at Night. Coming up on tonight's episode, we have three contestants waiting to try out our centrifuge. We'll be spinning them round and taking them up to 10G. Last one to puke or pass out wins £10,000. We asked the boffin some of your questions.
Kathy from Leeds wants to know, what shade of yellow is the sun? If God is everywhere, is he also at the event horizon of a black hole? Did you ever meet Neil Armstrong and was he fit?
Don't forget to send your Uranus jokes to the Sky at Night PO Box address at the end of the show. Best One gets a night out with Professor Brian Cox and their own personalised guitar riff from Dr. Brian May. But now it's time for our monthly reality show slot, The Only Way is Physics, where you get to vote out a real-life scientist from CERN. All that and more on the new, rebranded Sky at Night.
Listening to BBC Radio 4, where we continue our live coverage of the Wonka trial, following the tragic events of the Golden Ticket Tour, which left many dead. Those who've been following the coverage will know that last week we learned that William Wonka, CEO of the Wonka Confectionery Company, was facing charges of manslaughter and child endangerment, but there was also the unusual charge of enslavement of an entire race. Mr. Wonka is known to be a very litigious man, and this case has taken 2 years to reach the courts. We now go over to the courtroom, where the prosecution is still making its case.
Okay, if you just take your time.
Okay, sorry, I'm a bit nervous. Myself and my colleague Paul were the first paramedics on the scene. What greeted us was one of the most bizarre scenarios I've ever witnessed. First, we had to enter through a door that was only a few inches high and proceed down a corridor, the walls of which were covered in saliva. One girl had suffered a fall from a great height down a chute intended for eggs that didn't meet the standard required. She survived, God knows how, because she had several broken ribs, one of which had punctured a lung. Another girl had suffered a severe allergic reaction to an untested chewing gum. I mean, what it was even doing within the reach of children is beyond me, but her face was completely blue. There was no attempt to administer first aid before we got there. In fact, some of the employees were just dancing about and singing. I said, you know, stop all of that, give her some air. I said, her tongue's swollen, that's why she's blue. Turned out the chewing gum had gluten in it. Mr. Wonka himself told me that he had sent health forms out to the families beforehand from his own office, but the forms were cut in half lengthwise, so you could only read half the questions, so allergies weren't covered. Not all were success stories. A German lad drowned. His lungs were full of drinking chocolate. It was a horrible sight. I still have nightmares. One lad suffered severe radiation poisoning, which had caused his whole body to shrink. He's holding on, just, but he's in a medically induced coma. We've told his mother that there's really no hope, but she won't listen into reason. I approached Mr. Wonka himself to ask whether they kept stretchers and other emergency first aid at the factory, but he just started reciting poetry. At that point, he seemed quite calm, but then his mood dramatically changed and he started yelling at his staff, like, "What are we going to do? We're going to get done. This is all your fault, you little orange bastards." Then he started laughing, then crying, then he walked off limping, but then he did a forward roll and ran. My understanding is that he was arrested later that afternoon, hiding behind some bins in the next street.
Well, we'll return to the Wonka trial later this afternoon, when Veruca Salt is due to give evidence from her iron lung. But coming up now on Radio 4, The Archers. In this episode, one of the characters is having problems with one of their fields, probably. I don't know, I don't listen.
The 1st of August 2013, and that can mean only one thing. It's the new issue of Hot Magazine, available for download now. Oprah Winfrey's new android body is looking a bit fat. We didn't even know metal could bend that much, but this yo-yo dieter seems to have managed it. We have an album of over 2,000 photographs of her weight issues for you to pore over. Veteran news broadcaster Philippa March will be 40 this month. We have exclusive pictures from her euthanasia ceremony, which will be conducted by her replacement, 24-year-old Ellie Price. Her co-anchor, Michael Edwards, 55, was quoted saying, "I've been a friend of Philippa's for 20 years, and she is a superb broadcaster, but no one wants to see that, so she had to go." But there's more! We interview the reanimated corpse of Rita Hayworth to find out how she stayed looking so young after over 1,000 years in the ground. What are her beauty secrets?
I would say good quality soil followed by regular shock therapy.
Want to live a celebrity lifestyle but don't want to debase yourself on a talent show? More and more people are opting for the face-off clinical treatment. Just 5 hours in surgery and doctors can remove your face and replace it with a celebrity of your choice. This recent recipient now looks like Angelina Jolie. Of course, your face will be completely numb for the rest of your life, but you'll look amazing! A small price to pay. But there's still more! That's right, the ultimate makeover for celebrities who are sick of the endless diets and exercise regimes. More and more people are opting for the extensive surgery that will put their head on top of a stick. One of the first people to hit the slab for this treatment was Kerry Katona.
"No one will ever call me fat ever again. I'm sure I'll be happy now."
All that and more in the latest issue of Hot Magazine, in your inbox or directly onto your retina. Download it today.
And that's just about all we have time for today on BBC Two. But before we go over to the BBC Learning Zone, there's just time for a rundown of the BBC Christmas Day lineup. Our festive programming is packed with everything you need for a traditional Christmas day. We have Strictly Come Dancing, followed by the new episode of Open All Hours, and then the Christmas special of Doctor Who. That will be followed by some repeats of Morecambe and Wise and the Two Ronnies or something, probably. I mean, I haven't looked, but I'm guessing. If your local newsagent has run out of copies of the Radio Times, the 1976 edition will do just as well, as the programming is virtually identical. Every programme will feature an all-star cast. The BBC understands it is very important that no viewer is subjected to seeing a face they are unfamiliar with, especially on Christmas Day. I know if I see anyone I don't recognise, I immediately change channel. I was watching Blandings recently, and everything was fine. You know, Timothy Spall, good, I know him. Jennifer Saunders, Mark Williams from The Fast Show and the Harry Potter films, David Walliams, even Paloma Faith turned up. I know her from music. And then this young chap came on, and I didn't recognise him. And I looked in the Radio Times and searched for his name on the laptop, and it turns out he's just done theatre, like he was Laertes opposite Jude Law's Hamlet at the Donmar or something. Well, I've heard of Jude Law, why didn't they cast him? It makes no sense. Anyway, I just threw up and then kicked the television in. Recent research shows that if viewers see anything new over the festive season, it will lead to rioting in the streets, mass looting, and maybe even people watching Sky, and no one wants that. We did good stuff in the past, so it makes sense just to do that stuff again. Or if all your budget has been cut and given to Doctor Who, just repeat the old stuff. Anyway, it's a special treat to see these old shows. They're only on 2 to 3 times a day on Dave or Gold. That's not very much.
Ah, the 70s were better, weren't they? I was a child then, and I didn't have any bills to pay or anything, but I'm pretty sure they were just objectively better as well. And I know the commissioners agree with me. Anyway, that's all from me. Now over to the BBC Learning Zone.
Their punishment is to have their fingernail catch on something so it makes them feel sick every few seconds for eternity.
Look, I can't possibly deserve that. Why are we still going? Where am I going to end up?
You'll see. Let's go to the next circle. In the next episode of Gemma Arrowsmith's Divine Comedy.
Educating your child in a state school is basically child abuse.
There are breakthroughs being made in shampoo every month. Did you know L'Oreal have recently micronized water molecules to hydrate your hair?
Sandy, 18, from Hereford, is Monday's Page 3 model, and she has gangrene in one of her legs. It tickles when it doesn't hurt.
The pit of hell, reserved for the most heinous of crimes.
I'll change, please, I'll do anything.
Divine Comedy was written and performed by Gemma Arrowsmith, music by Kevin MacLeod, sound effects by Soundjay. All other episodes are available on iTunes and Audioboom. For more information, visit gemmaarrowsmith.com.